Good morning, it's Bob Perot with you, and it's time to keep the conversation going surrounding intimate partner violence, known as and referred to during this podcast as IPV. With me, Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. Aaron, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here as always.
And today we have joining us Kirsten Mercer, who's a lawyer and feminist activist who represented EVA, which is Ending Violence Against Women, at the inquest into the deaths of Carol Culleton, Anastasia Kuzek, and Natalie Warmerdam. And that's just part of the work you do. Kirsten, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Bob, and hi, Aaron. Nice to be with you again.
Aaron, today we wanted to talk about tools that are being developed to help people move forward as we continue this conversation and this fight to end IPV.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the inquests and you look at the various themes that came up through the 86 recommendations, ed education, public engagement, and awareness is certainly a significant area of interest, and certainly lots of work has been done. And it's great to have Kirsten here because Kirsten has been leading lots of tool development, has been engaged in lots of action related to implementation and making change. So I can start certainly with just the level of interest from community that came as a result of the inquest. And one of the very interesting pieces that we worked on was with neighbors, friends, and family. So we worked with neighbors, friends, and family, and we created a tool that's a pamphlet that talks about, it's called Rural Roots. And really what it's about, it's is violence against victims in specifically in rural communities. So what to look for, what to think about, what is unique about it, and how to engage differently and safely or safer in order to support victims of violence. So that was one of the initial things that we've done to try to build capacity in community. Kirsten, I'm wondering if you could talk about some of the really great work that you've been working on in terms of tool development.
And I think it's really important to highlight, just to build on what you're describing, that I think one of the things that really sparked people coming out of that inquest was that focus on rural communities and the unique needs and perspectives of rural communities. Not that this issue is by any means unique to rural communities. We know that violence against women and gender diverse folks happens all over the place, but all of a sudden, the spotlight being on, well, what does this look like in our kind of community? And that really caught fire, if I can put it that way, across the province. And so we've seen a lot of activity happening province-wide about toolkits and resources, because even though the recommendations weren't directed to at the local level, that's where the interest has been. And so, one of the tools that that a number of us were involved in working on is a toolkit that we developed with the support of the Happy Roots Foundation, which took a bunch of the recommendations, sort of a handful of recommendations, different kinds of recommendations, and dug a bit deeper into, like, well, what does this recommendation mean? What is the response? What do we think about that response from government or whoever was the responding party? And what can people do at the local level to push this forward? And so that resource, it actually exists for the public to use. It's available through the Lanark County Interval House website and the section of that website that looks at resources to do with the CKW inquest. And it sort of has like a play-by-play on a whole bunch of different recommendations that people might want to take up and act. And the sort of things people can do range from, writing a letter to your member of parliament, or engaging in a sort of a training program or an exercise, writing a letter to the editor, or speaking out, calling into a radio show, for example. A whole range of things that we think ordinary people can do to sort of amp up the pressure to push forward these recommendations. And in some cases, it isn't even about applying pressure to another government. It's actually about doing the work themselves at the local level. And that's, to me, one of the things that's been so incredibly inspiring and empowering come out of the inquest is, local communities, individual citizens at the local level said, you know what, we're not going to wait around for other people to do this. We're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to do what we can in our community because this matters to us. And I actually get goosebumps when I say that because it's just, I love that spirit. And so in a way, we're kind of clamoring behind that energy to try to put some tools in place to help people and build on that momentum. So that toolkit is one of the ones that I would suggest people can draw on, if they'd like to do more.
Aaron, it really speaks to what you and I discovered as we went through each of the recommendations as well, and in speaking with the other stakeholders too, that no one took a look at these recommendations and said, well, that's not possible. That's not possible. It was all, how do we do this? How do we get this done? And I think developing what Kirsten has just spoken about is really, that truth in action.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think that, like, when you think about rural communities and you think about the recommendations, for instance, there's a recommendation related to firearms. And in rural communities, the chances of you being threatened by a firearm in an intimate partner violence situation is 30% higher when you're in a rural community. So having a recommendation that's related to firearms and then being open to have that discussion and to develop kind of tools. And the other piece for me is around restorative justice, right? There's a recommendation related to restorative justice, and people throw their arms up and they're like, oh no, like we can't possibly think about restorative justice as it relates to intimate partner violence. And the reality is, we can and we should be thinking about what those options look like, not because we can implement them today, but because we need to look at what we're doing moving down the road, because what we know is the system as it currently exists is failing. So why not look at what those other options are? And I think that that's been the goal of a lot of the work that Kirsten and others have been doing in terms of coming together as advocates to look at what else we can move forward. What would you say, Kirsten, in terms of the momentum of groups you're working with right now, in terms of that kind of unity and taking things on together?
Aaron, I think that's such a great spotlight on what I think is the single most important message coming out of the inquest, and that is collaboration and coordination. One of the things that I get to do as part of my work is travel around and work with different communities on these coordinating tables that exist. So many communities have some kind of coordinating space. And your listeners, it's not something that the public would really necessarily be involved with, but the idea of those spaces is it brings together all of the actors in the community who have responsibility for supporting survivors or handling cases of gender-based violence. And that could be policing partners or other just the Crown. It could be the shelter. It could be many other, depending on the community, other resources, healthcare resources, university resources in some cases. And they come together and try to not just share information about what they're all doing individually, but actually work together at what they can do jointly. And that's, to me, that's a big shift that's come since the inquest. And it speaks to one of the things that I think we feel did go wrong in Renfrew was too much operating in silos, not enough collaboration. People had information, but they didn't have all the pieces put together. And so nobody, or not enough people maybe could see the whole picture. And that happens all too often. And so there are really great models emerging, and it doesn't always look the same in from one community to another, but these coordinating collaboration tables where people come together, where leadership gets engaged. So not just, the person in that workplace or in that organization that deals with gender-based violence, but the chief of police, the mayor, the head of the hospital, that there's leadership at the top level for the importance of doing that work together. And then the people who have the expertise and do the work in the day-to-day have a more in-depth role. And those models of how to do that, if that's not something that's happening in your community or is happening well in your community or the community of your listeners, there are really great models of how that can work. and lots of different versions of what can make that successful. And at the end of the day, I think that's the secret sauce. If there is a secret sauce, I think those relationships, that getting people around the table, getting information shared, and building that trust, if there's a secret sauce to turning the trajectory of this issue around, I think that's what it is. It's not one thing and it doesn't look the same everywhere, but it absolutely is about the community rolling up their sleeves and working on this together.
It's amazing because when what you're talking about is the same type of security that police forces and paramedics bring to a community. We take for granted that those organizations are there to serve a role to help our community. These tables, commissions, committees would fill that type of role. And I guess, Aaron, the hope is eventually we just know that this is there and it is there to help these victims and then ultimately act as a deterrent.
100%, Bob. If we can't lean in on each other and work on this issue in unity, we're not going to resolve the issue. And I think that the systems need to do better. You know, when they say, when you know better, do better, I think we know better. I think that the inquest has provided a course of action. And I think that it is true, that we cannot assume that the police know something that probation doesn't know. And we need to be communicating. And, you know, one of the recommendations spoke very specifically to the Privacy Commission and making sure that there was a project and an initiative that simplified the language and helped people understand how we can share information with each other when we have information that is pertinent to likely life-saving or changing the trajectory or the outcome of an intimate partner violence situation. And so, you know, I really encourage people, and I guess, you know, around education and collaboration, you know, one of the things we need to think about is making sure we have those resources available for people so that they can go to the Privacy Commission online and look up what the commission has actually done. And the commission consulted with people like Kirsten Mercer, myself, Pam Cross, Joanne Brooks, like lots of people to say, what does this need to look like so that it can work better to prevent further deaths. And so that's the kind of stuff that we need to work on. And locally in communities, we need to look at leaning in on each other and leaning in with the understanding and the respect that we all have to do our due diligence and we all have job descriptions and funders and that direct the way we do stuff. But the creative response is the only response that's been working in my experience from Lanark County for sure. And from listening to my colleagues in group calls that I'm on weekly about what's going on in various parts of our province, but also of our country, in terms of the work that we can do.
Kirsten, I'm going to give the last word to you. I mean, you were nodding your head quite often as Aaron was speaking. So please, I'd just like you to continue on her thought.
Such a good example, Bob, of of what can happen when people who have information broaden the lens and are able to bring more people into that information bubble. You know, the IPC, the Information and Privacy Commissioner, had a very clear sense of the answer to like this really important problem that was coming up at the inquest, which was people had information and they didn't feel they were allowed to share it. Confidential information that they'd obtained from clients about real present danger, and they didn't feel that the law allowed them to share it. And the IPC, the Information and Privacy Commissioner, sort of said, that's not true, actually. But what the law says is where somebody's health and safety is at risk, you don't have to sit on that information. But we had this knowledge over here, and then we had people who were operating without all the information. And the IPC worked really carefully with folks across the system to provide empowering information in a way that really made sense on the ground for people who do the work every day. And I feel absolutely certain that that resource has saved lives already, because people who have information are empowered to act in the way that like every reasonable person would think they should, that they're not sort of hamstrung by a law that says you can know something critically important to keep people safe, but you're not allowed to do anything with it. And even that alone, I think, certainly I believe has and almost without a doubt will continue to save lives in Ontario, and that resource is being held up as a model in other places as well. So, you know, the impact of all of these individual pieces of work that are happening coming out of the inquest, of people just going, well, how can we make this work for us? What can we do here? How can we bring more people into the around the table and into the sort of information ecosystem that we have in a way that's about, you know, getting things done and making people safer.
Collaboration and communication, Aaron. We've talked about it so many times and the difference that it can make. And it's nice to hear that it's not only happening here in Lanark County.
Absolutely.
Well, Kirsten, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us here today. You are more than welcome to come back anytime. It is an ongoing conversation and we'd love to have you back for sure.
I'd be happy to join you. Thanks so much. And this conversation is so important. And obviously the role that that you folks are playing in continuing to keep it going is incredibly valuable. So it's an honor to be here.
And Aaron, my friend, we'll do it again next week.
We will, as always. Thank you so much.
I'm Bob Perreault, Lanark Leads Today.ca.